Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Tom Julian hosting tonight's Blog Talk Radio Zorme, the Written Word Show. How's everybody doing tonight? I am the new guest host of Radio Z, and tonight's my first show. I'll be joined in a few minutes by the lovely Emma, and soon after that I'll be joined by the lovely J.A. Ironside, and after that we'll be joined by Justin Alcala, and tonight we're going to be talking about our cultural obsession with Halloween, and everyone's going to be telling some fun, cool Halloween stories, and we're going to get Halloweeny, and it's going to be a really good, fun time. So, if you'd like to call in to talk to us, you can call us up at 347-996-3. All right, a Halloween.
Hello.
Hey, who's that?
This is
Hello?
Emma Jansen.
Hey, Emma.
Can you hear me?
Thanks for yes, I can. Thanks for calling in and rescuing me. I was just about to get into my manifesto, and we were hanging out here waiting for the lovely J.A. Ironside to call in, and I was talking about Halloween and telling everybody how psyched I was to be doing my first show. So tell me what's going on with you tonight.
Well, congratulations on your very first hosting, and here is appropriate time if we had that drum roll or clap, you know, we could use that, but, you know, we don't, so here it is for you.
Thank you very much. I have an appropriate soundbite. Blog Talk lets you talk about soundbites, so I'm going to play one of my favorites ever. Ready?
Ready. Let's be bad guys.
That's from Serenity. That's in Cobb saying, let's be bad guys. So so let's be bad guys. I've always had a streak of, you know, a love for the wild side, you know, people that that really rock it out and, you know, are anti-heroes. So I'm totally psyched to talk about Halloween tonight. But, you know, I did get myself pretty psyched up for tonight. I drank about 4 Red Bulls and watched Rudy, which got me completely in the mood to talk about, got me all the emotion out, and you know, I'm ready to go.
Rudy,
you know, yeah. You've ever seen Rudy?
Yes. Why? What? Why? For Halloween? Come on, you should be watching a Halloween flick.
You know what? It's not. It just gets all the feels out watching Rudy. You just have to watch, you know, Frodo go at it. He doesn't care. He's just thing at it.
Well, check it out. I have, like, one little, you know, old Halloween costume that went very well, and I'd like to share it with you today.
Yeah. What is your best Halloween costume ever?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say it's the best Halloween costume ever, because I have won a Halloween costume contest at a club before, but I think it was the most ingenious. Do you remember when they were doing that hard pitch for Arby's, when it, you know, all those commercials were saying, I'm thinking of Arby's or whatever it was, right?
Yep.
I'm thinking Arby's, I think it was, and then they had this, like, Arby's symbol, like, hat that would hang above their head in the commercial.
You were the Arby's hat?
I did not wear the Arby's hat, but I did, like, concoct this, you know, pipe cleaner, red pipe cleaner. I kind of twisted, like, three of them together to give it more stability.
Yeah.
And then tried to shape it the best that I could into an Arby's hat and just wore that and went as myself. And
wow.
Some people didn't get
that
it.
That is exceptionally special. Good job.
It went over very well. I got a lot of, you know, people complimenting
you
me.
You must have been in Arby's territory. Must have been Arby's backyard. Hey, it looks like we've got a caller in with a very mysterious phone number. So I'm thinking that might be our friend from the UK. So I'm going to give her, I'm going to...
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
Let's try and see who this is.
Ooh, that was creepy.
That was creepy.
Hello?
Hello, is this our friend from the UK?
Yeah, it's Jules. Hi, nice to meet you. Relatively speaking.
Hey, Jules. Greetings and welcome to the Radio Z Show. It's great to talk to you. You're on the written word.
Yeah.
And apparently you're on the written word because you created written words and you've written them down and put them in a book and committed ink to them and told some great stories. So we're so psyched to have you on the call. How are you tonight?
Yourself.
What's that? I missed that.
I said I'm good, thanks. Yourself.
Oh, I'm
How
fine.
You?
I'm fine. So I looked at your biography and Googled your hometown, and you live in probably one of the most beautiful places that I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks beautiful on Google Maps, but there might be Pizza Huts every 10 feet. I don't know, but it looks gorgeous.
No Pizza Huts, unfortunately.
There's no Pizza Huts, or there's plenty of Pizza Huts?
No Pizza Huts.
Oh, thank God. Okay, that continues my... That just keeps the picture in my mind. So we're talking tonight about Halloween and the writer's experience with Halloween and everything spooky and interesting about that holiday. I assume that... that over on your side of the pond, that Halloween is as big a deal as it is here. I've actually found a recent a fact quite interesting that Americans spend more money on Halloween than all the money that's spent on the presidential election, which is shocking to me because our presidential elections go on for almost 2 years and are ridiculously expensive. But every year at Halloween, we spend more on Halloween than we do on the presidential elections. So I found that to be crazy. But if you could maybe tell us a little bit about what goes on around your neck of the woods on Halloween, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. It is a bit different. I mean, I think some of your traditions were taken from ours and then you've sent them back to us. So we do get trick-or-treaters now, but it's a big thing in the but we've also got quite a few very odd little festivals and things that happen around about the same time. So there's apple wassailing. Do you have any idea what that is?
Apple wassailing?
Yep.
Is that dancing with apples? Or apple bobbing? Or throwing apples at... I don't have anything. Emma, do you have any idea what apple wassailing is?
I have no idea. But hi, Jules. Nice to hear from you again. Emma Jansen.
Yeah, good. Me.
Yeah, Emma's here.
The last time I spoke, you said we're in your flat and you were drinking Coke.
No, cup of tea. Very British.
What?
Very British. Cup of tea. You having a cuppa? There's a second English invasion going on right now in the United States. We have John Oliver, who's huge over here now, and the other fella, the guy that runs the James Corden. Our late night shows are being taken over by the British. The Redcoats are coming again, but it's all quite charming. John Oliver is probably one of the biggest. He's one of my favorites over here. And so, wait a minute, what's apple blossoming?
Basically, it's in the most of orchard-type areas around Britain, and a libation of cider is poured on the apple tree root to promote a good harvest. It's from old folklore. But the wassailing part is when you get a group of, well, usually men, but women as well, and they fire shotguns into branches of the trees to ward off evil spirits. That's a Halloween tradition for over here.
Wow. I would almost think that the wassailing would kind of diffuse the, you know, pouring of the cider onto the trees itself, because you're shooting the trees.
You think, really?
Yeah, it's like you're praying for a good harvest, and the first thing you do is take a firearm to them, which sounds like something that would happen in the United States, just for an excuse to fire a firearm, which is amazing. I own exactly zero guns, which is I don't know if that's shocking to you, but you know, from what television and our NRA shows you, that's like everyone in America is just walking around with M16s shooting at apple trees. So exciting. That's an interesting and very unusual holiday. Kind of unexpected. Is there anything else? You know what? You haven't exported that one to us yet.
No, I think that's probably
Emma, good. Emma, you think we want that one? We're going to pass.
What? I wouldn't pass on anything that's apart from my own. I'd like to learn about other cultures and what other stuff is going out in the world.
So you'd be all into apple wassailing.
Sure, why not?
If we brought that, to, it kind of, you know, we would probably interpret that more like pumpkin chunking, you know, or pumpkin skeet, something like that, where, you know, to that effect. But that is very cool. I like the oddity of it. Jules, your book was very interesting, and involves your protagonist is I believe a young woman who is fighting off the supernatural, or part of is involved in the supernatural. Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Emily Lynette has an affinity with the dead and doesn't want to do this whatsoever. But she's been involved in a terrible car accident which has killed her mother, and it's made her ability to communicate with the dead a lot stronger. In a way to get the family away from the scene of the tragedy, as it were, her father takes up a post in Yorkshire, and they all move into a house which is at the centre of a curse. And as more and more members of her family get drawn into the curse, and more of the people in the village get drawn into the curse, she finds herself very much alone outside this huge pattern which has to unravel before she loses the rest of her family, basically.
Wow. And that's very interesting sounding. And it's set, I assume, around where you live, and has aspects of... of Gothic tradition and you know, in the British countryside. Is it are you planning a follow up?
Yes, I'm very, very nearly finished it, actually. I very nearly finished writing it today.
Wonderful.
Third draft today. It needs a lot of tidying up, but it's almost there.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
Could we get a little sneak peek of the last line that you wrote?
The last line I wrote.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Ooh. No spoilers. Just give us a little hint of something that you wrote today.
Okay, a little hint. Okay. Right.
I know I put you on the spot. God bless my heart. But you know what? That's what the show's about. And I'm thinking that your fans want to get that out of you. And this is the only way that we can do it. So I am representing the fans who want to know your secrets. What did you write today?
We basically skipped over the part where we actually grew to like each other enough to be friends. We just had to stop touching each other's hair. That was weird and way too intimate. I was feeling much better as I walked into class, which was probably why it all came as a horrible shock.
That's cool. And if I'm ever in a position where I can have someone do an audiobook of or audio read of my book, I'd love to have somebody. It sounds like you do it. That sounds wonderful. We've got a couple additional callers coming in. Someone from 860. Who's on the line, please?
Rick Chapman.
Hey, Rick. How you doing, sir?
How you doing, Tom? I got this email that you were doing your first radio show, and I had to attend. I wasn't quite sure how it all worked when it first began. The sound cut out, but it's come back in smoothly. So, congratulations!
Thank you. I'm doing the radio show for Radio Z, which is the blog talk radio show for Zarme. And tonight's our first show, and myself and co-host Emma Jansen, we're talking
Hi,
that's Emma. We're talking to Jules Ironside, and we're going to be talking to, as well, our friend Justin Alcala in a few minutes. So welcome to the jungle, my friend. It's great to talk to you.
Well, I think in honor of the occasion and the season, you should be called a Wolfman, Tom, okay? But
the Wolfman.
This is the
I got you
of
there,
the wolf.
Man.
As well as other things that go thump and bite in the night.
Yeah, that go boom and bite. Great to talk to you, man. How are things? I know you've got a book that has recently come out that I absolutely loved. It's great to talk to you. I see you pushing that book hard and getting some great reviews. In 30 seconds, tell us about that book that you've written.
Oh, well, my book is called Selling Steve Jobs' Liver, which a story of startups, innovation, and connectivity in the cloud. And the book is literally what it says it's about. It's about a couple of entrepreneurs who get their hands on Steve Jobs' liver and proceed to monetize it so they can realize their startup and entrepreneurial dreams.
Well, hey, you know, I read the book. It's one of the funniest books I've read in a very long time. It's very macabre and very appropriate to talk about on Halloween. But it's also, there are, you know, portions of it that are just so funny that, you know, it's kind of rolling the floor laughing and all that. So we do have another call that's called in, so it's becoming a party. Somebody from 312, who's just called in, please?
Hello, this is Justin Alcala.
Hey, Justin, how are you? It's great to talk
Justin.
To you.
Hey, guys, Hi. How are you?
This is great. This is turning into like the old Johnny Carson show where people would bump down the couch a little bit. This is lots of fun.
So am I the only one wearing my costume right now?
Are you the only one what?
Wearing my costume right now? Are we all dressed up?
Yes, all of us are dressed
up. Yeah, I'm thinking of Arby's right now. That's my Halloween costume.
Right. Now, Justin, I've read your bio, and if you are dressed up like a sexy Donald Trump, I'm going to be very disappointed. What do you got on?
What do I have on right now? Right now I'm dressed as...
It sounds like a mildly inappropriate question. What are you wearing, Justin?
Not the first time I've been asked. I'm going to give you five minutes to start asking that.
Okay.
No, I'm just as Jareth from Labyrinth right now. It's a little uncomfortable wearing my wife's tights, but you know you have to manage for beauty.
was that the Labyrinth? Was that the David Bowie character?
Of course, yeah, my favorite.
Awesome. That is a great Halloween costume. A great Halloween costume. So we've got on the line with us, we have myself, co-host Emma, Jules Ironside, Justin Alcala, and Meryl Chapman. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to ask a question, you know, in keeping with the season, and that is, what is the scariest story or book or movie any of you have ever seen? How would you rate them?
Ladies first.
Oh, get out of here. You're just doing that because you can't think of anything. Come on.
Oh, I can
think of several.
The Shining.
Okay, you go. I threw it out. Go ahead. I said The Shining. Emma, what do you got?
Let me see the scariest.
Bluff called. I had aces.
You know, some people are going to completely disagree with me here, but the movie that made me jump the most was Scream. Isn't that
very
crazy?
Good.
That scene where he's in the van and it's broad daylight and, you know, he, you know, attacks somebody in the van. I kicked the person in front of me. I did in the movie theater. I sure did.
For me, it was The Shining, but Aliens is a close second. That terrified me. I had bad dreams about that for weeks, and I was kind of a little kid when I saw it. So there's that. Jules, what's your call?
Mine would be really weird because I don't find what are supposed to be scary films actually scary, but anything with like ongoing existential angst gets me for about 2 weeks afterwards. So mine's actually 12 Monkeys.
Oh,
12 Monkeys.
That is
12,
a
12 Monkeys.
That is a
more
great film. That is a great film. Yeah, and it's more sci-fi but horror, but the ideas in it really getting into your brain and kind of twist it around and, you know, have your heart beating, you know, 2 days later in the middle of the night. So that's a great film, and I respect that, mad respect. Justin, how about you? What do you got?
I would have to say The Notebook.
Ah.
You're kidding, that'll right? The Notebook?
It's terrifying on several levels.
You know,
the man is dressed like 1980s Muppet David Bowie watching The Notebook. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of that as well.
That would have to be my scariest. Anything that can make my wife and I cry at the same time is gonna. She's crying because she's sad, and I'm crying because it's painful. So
there you go.
Well, I have a question.
There you go. So,
Justin, can I interject here? I got a question for Justin, and you know his book, The Devil in the Wild City, right? Is that the title, right?
Devil in the Wide City, WIDE. I'm sorry.
WIDE. Okay, my bad.
You're fine.
It's not out yet, but it sounds like it could scare the crap out of me. Is it scary? Is it just like a psychological thriller? Like what type of genre would you place it?
You know, unfortunately, it's a farcic urban fantasy, I guess is the best way to put it. It's very Christopher Moore. It's called The Devil in the Wide City, played off of the title of the old serial killer, because it takes place in both Chicago, which is the fattest city one of the fattest cities in the U.S. So it's play on words there. But it's actually about a devil who starts the Great Chicago Fire, and so he's sent back to hell for his naughtiness, and he gets a chance to come back in the modern day, and he's just got to try to not blunder everything and give it a go once more as a corrupter, trying to steal souls.
Well, that sounds intense. That sounds like it's going to be one of those things that... That's on Meryl's list.
So it's not going to scare the crap out of me, but it's something that if I watched the movie on it, I'd be like, whoa, that was a really good movie, right?
I would say it's a combination of a lot of nerd references and my Catholic upbringing, which was a lot of you're going to go to hell for A, B, and C, don't touch that. You'll get hairy palms, all that great stuff.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Justin, you had some fascinating things in your bio. You have traveled the world to research your books, including a jaunt over to, you said, Transylvania? That is really neat. I've never been able to do that. I've been able to go to downtown Trenton to investigate things for my books, but never have I
which is
literally traveled over. Yeah, but you know what? I think that I did write a chapter of my book Timberwolf in Vienna in a coffee house last year, which was kind of just an amazing experience. But you went to the epicenter of horror to write and research a horror book. So can you tell us about that trip to Transylvania a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So Consume, the first of my Zarme novels, was very much so a salute to sort of gothic horror. You know, even when I was like 13 years old, my mom had the Dracula book, and I tried to read it. A lot of big words, it was English monologue, and I was mostly confused, but I was determined to read Dracula. And ever since then, I started getting into a lot of noir books growing up in high school, probably because I was very awkward. And then pretty much when I wanted to sit down and write a book, I decided, well, I'm not going to be able to write anything about all the folklore of the Nosferatu, all that good stuff, unless I go there. So jumped on a plane, and we went to Bram's Castle, which is Dracula's castle, everyone knows it as, and had some fun in the Carpathian Mountains. A lot of drinking going on there. The Romanians are very friendly folk. They share everything, including their plum wine. And
wow.
It was great. It was a wonderful,
That's
wonderful
great.
Experience. I had a great time there.
That's great. I mean, you could have winged it. But you went there. I have to tell you, I ended up in Prague last year, and that is a great place for horror. If you're ever interested in going back again, they love their macabre history. They are psyched about visitors. They're psyched to show you all their torture chambers and everything from centuries past, as well as the communist occupation. So there's just some great, spooky, scary crap going on in Prague. And they'll ply you with absinthe, which is disgusting. But Prague's cool. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hear it's one of the most beautiful cities in Europe.
Yeah, one of the most beautiful. It is a great time. So we've got on the line here still with us, we've got myself, Tom Julian, the lovely and talented Emma Jansen, the talented and lovely Jules Ironside, Merrill Chapman, author of Stealing Steve Jobs' Liver, and Justin Alcala, who digs vampires. And so we've got another guest calling in a little while, but I'd just like to repeat the number for folks if they'd like to call us up. It's 347-996-3900. It's the Zarme Written Word podcast, and we're looking forward to talking to folks. Let's go a little bit further back to discussing our experiences with Halloween. We heard some really cool, description of an English holiday called, it was called Wassailing, correct? Called Wassailing, which involves shooting firearms at apple trees, which is really cool, and very interesting. Jules, do you have any other?
Could we get away with doing that in the United States?
Could we get away with doing that in the United States? You know, I think that if it's on, it could probably make the a giant debate on C-SPAN if we let it.
Jules, this has
if it happens,
something that you guys do in the country. This cannot be in the cities.
No.
Well,
orchard areas, so places like Kent and Hereford, and definitely not in cities. The ones in the ground in the city.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to partake in this activity because I got to tell you, I'm pretty good with weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
You are. That's what
yeah.
I've heard. I've heard Emma. If folks aren't aware, is a military United States military veteran. And I believe she served in the Middle East and other places in the world very gallantly. Is there any military Halloween traditions that you could tell us about that are just kind of interesting and special? Like, is there anything that folks do in the Army?
Well, there's no Halloween traditions in the military. They don't come up with anything on their own, but when you're deployed, you just kind of do what you can, and trying to play soldier for Halloween is not cool. Nobody cares. So we don't do that.
There you go.
Nobody dresses up as a soldier for Halloween.
Gotcha. So, you know, there's nobody, like, you know, dressed up like Soldier Batman. Instead of, like, you know, every other Halloween costume is, like, sexy this, sexy that. You're like, I'm Soldier Batman. I'm the sexy Batman. So you just replace sexy with soldier. I'm sexy Spock.
No, we just kind of find it, you know, try to find, you know, makeup. A lot of people send makeup to the soldiers, the female soldiers, you know, while they're deployed. So we'll try to find markers and makeup and, you know, do our faces up, you know. And that's it. That's all we can do while we're deployed, you know.
There you go. It's fabulous camouflage.
Yeah, sexy camouflage.
Classy camo. You know, classy camo is the way to go.
Jules, do you have a black cat or a black and white cat?
I have a black cat.
I have a black and white cat.
So your cat is both, but who has the black cat?
This is Meryl Chapman. Actually, call me Rick Chapman. I have a black cat. In fact, she's sitting at the table right now hoping to catch a treat because we're having dinner. His name's Hunter, and he is we call him Dr. Evil. He spends a lot of time in the basement attempting to build a nuclear fusion missile system. Laser guy. He's a cat. He's a black cat.
I wonder where that superstition came from with the whole, you know, black cats crossing your path type thing. Are you're obviously not even concerned about that at all.
Well, in the UK, it's good luck to have a black cat cross your path. It's bad luck if it's a white cat.
Really?
Wait,
I would
so
be
you're
so
doomed
confused.
If you live in the UK now, Jules, and then you're doomed if you come here because you have a blended colored cat.
Yeah.
You have a yin. It's like a yin yang cat. It's both evil and not evil.
Well,
I mean, I think we could all just.
He's fully evil.
Just,
spends all his time plotting world domination, which you would expect a black cat to do.
You know, cats are like that. I don't get the impression that my dog is plotting much of anything. We have a 96-pound Bernese Mountain Dog. She's black and white and brown and sits on people's feet all day long. So there's no evil going on there. But cats, you just never know. You think there might be a little evil in there. And, hey, I'd like
I'm
to just welcome
a... I'm thinking the stink bombs that my dog needs are sort
evil.
Of, you know, testing out the to dominate the world. I don't know, because he certainly cleared the room, that's for sure.
There you go.
Well,
so dogs are evil in other ways.
We're always
I just want to say...
Rick,
what was that?
Well, we have a problem with the packages that come delivered with North Korean and Iranian addresses, and they set off the Geiger counter I put up on the front door just to make sure that, you know, things were, you know, copacetic around here. Well, every time we send one of those back, Hunter looks very, very depressed. So his plan for world domination is crawling along, but he'll get there one of these days.
You have Kat Jung-il. I'd like to welcome another caller from 917. The 917 area code. I think I know who this is, but if you could announce your bad self.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's my name is Domingo.
It's Domingo. How you doing, Domingo?
Hey. I'm all right.
Hi.
Welcome. I'm great. This is our inaugural show, and we have got quite a full deck tonight. We've got myself, Tom Julian. We have Emma Jansen. We have Jules Ironside from England. We have Rick Chapman, Justin Alcala, and now Domingo. How you doing, Domingo?
I'm doing well, Tom. Glad to hear you. What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Hello.
And I'm not coming from England. I'm hailing from Pennsylvania.
He's coming from the spooky area of Pennsylvania.
By the way, when you
say spooky Pennsylvania, I write reviews of books. I'm usually indie horror and sci-fi books, and I recently did a review of a book called The Fallen by an Irish author. I can't remember his name right now. I'll try to get it later on. When I was doing the review, I found out something really fascinating. And this was that Bram Stoker's original manuscript for Dracula was found in a farmhouse in Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania.
I can't believe the
original manuscript, which is, I'm sure, worth a lot of money, okay? How it ended up there, no one will ever... It'd be interesting to find out how it did, but I can't believe someone hasn't already done an independent movie about this, okay? Talk about the Blair Witch Project, the Bram Stoker Project. But no, the original manuscript.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's wild stuff. So Domingo's calling us to tell us some stories about his old job and things he did in his old job that were interesting and scary. Domingo, maybe you can tell us a little about yourself.
I'm a retired police officer. I was with the New York City Police Department for approximately 10 years, actually just 20 days shy of 10 years. Anyway, I retired from that job. And, there's things that you do that are scary that happened. And, you know, but the thing about the way it happens is that it's usually like in the blink of an eye. You know, sometimes you can kind of see it coming, and so it's not as scary. But there are things that that do happen. I mean, you kind of put me on the spot here with the scary stuff that, it's more like life-threatening stuff.
Doesn't have to be, like, spooky scary. We can, you know, just riff on, tell us some good stories, some good meaty stuff about the NYPD.
Well, I mean, I guess the scariest thing is this little kid. He had he was 15, maybe 14 years old. Him and his friend apparently decided to go up on a rooftop and try to fire off a gun. It turned out to be a big hog leg, a 44 Magnum. Anyway, so these kids come down the stairs, and my partner that I was working with at the time, she and I were pulling up in a patrol car, and these two kids, they're pretty smart because there was another police car that had just gotten there, and the two kids came out the front door, and one of the kids goes to the other kid, says something to him, and that second kid walks towards the police officers, and the first one kind of ducks out down the sidewalk. So the first two police officers are engaging the decoy, as it were. And as we're pulling up in the patrol car, I told the female officers that I was working with, I said, just, you know what, follow that other guy. Those guys have that kid. Let's try to get this other kid. Because I totally saw him ducking out. So she drives the car down the wrong way on a one-way street, which is fine. You know, you can have some time to go to do it. And I pop out on the kid. I hop out of the car, and I come around the front of him. And this kid, without hesitating, man, he just whips that gun right out. Woof. And first, I didn't have my gun out. I didn't have nothing. It was just, he would have had me. If she would have pulled the trigger, I would have been dead. So no ifs, ands, or buts about it. A 44 Magnum is going to put a lot of hurting on my bulletproof vest. I don't think it's rated for a 44 Magnum. Anyway, the gun turned out that it wasn't working properly. And he threw it.
Wow.
He didn't point it. He whipped it out. He didn't point it at me and pull the trigger. But you know, it was whipped out, and it was kind of like he spun around, and it kind of arced through my direction of where I was, and then he threw it on the ground and he ran. So that was probably the scariest thing that I can honestly remember ever happening to me as a police officer.
That is,
and if you want to hear, yeah,
that's scary as hell.
That was the life. It literally happened. You blink your eye and it happened.
So you've gone from hanging in a patrol car, you know, things being kind of boring day to day, and then
it comes down on you. What's it called too? Is hours of boredom intersected by minutes of excitement. That's what it really comes
right.
down to. But it's a lot of
right.
fun.
Right, we've got Emma Jansen, my co-host, served in the military, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
If her experience is the same. But you know, I admire folks like yourself and Emma.
Emma, what branch were you in?
I was in the Army for 18 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good. I was in the Navy for 4. Awesome. Good job. Thank you very much for your service. I always love it when people tell me that. Oh, thank you very much for your service. I'm like, yeah. Well, thank you. You're welcome. I always thought that was kind of funny when people say that. I mean, you know, it's pleasant and it's polite. It's a lot better than some things that other people say.
Us muggles,
you know.
We don't know what to say because, you know, we have no, like, thanks for that. You know, it's we know we can't like whip out a couple bills and you know whatever, but
no,
it's just
no. Listen,
it's something
I
admire.
To be honest with you, there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of benefits that come from the military, and you know, and the VA home loan. I'm honest, I would not have gotten into my one of my houses that I owned if it wasn't for the VA home loan. And then there's the Montgomery GI Bill, and there's a lot
yeah.
of benefits that you can take advantage of. Because you have to.
Otherwise, I mean, you just have to stop breaking into those homes you were getting into.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big problem, Domingo. I mean, seriously, man.
You know,
throw it back to some of our authors that we've got in line, Jules Ironside. How are things over with you? And to Justin Alcala, who's calling us in. Justin, where are you calling from to us tonight?
Chicago.
You're calling from
what?
Chicago.
Are you serious? I'm like an hour from you. That's crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll have to your numbers and get some coffee later.
Yeah, this is a waste of bandwidth. You guys should have gotten together and called. I'm actually I'm upset about this. I'm upset. Jules is calling us in from all the way from England, so she can't really double up on a phone. But everybody else is, and Domingo, you're not that far from me, so you know we could have done.
Yeah,
we could have
gotten together. You know what? And it was funny too,
yeah.
when you would ask me to do this, I was like, well, do I bring coffee over to his station? I mean, how is this done? You know, at the station, wherever it is that you're transmitting from, which is probably the base.
Yeah, I'm in my house.
By the way,
Jules,
let me ask.
Go
you
ahead.
A
what was that, Domingo?
No,
I wanted to ask Jules a question in terms of horror and Halloween. I think the scariest horror film I've ever seen was the original George Romero, Night of the Living Dead. I actually saw that on Channel 7 in New York. This is before the age of cable, and it used to play late at night, you know, at like 1 o'clock. And I started watching it one night. I had no idea what I was letting myself in for, but by the time the movie was over, I was traumatized. And I've actually seen several really good British, well, I don't know if they're really good, but I don't know if you remember Dr. Terror's House of Horrors with Donald Sutherland in it. Christopher Lee, I think, was in it as well. I was wondering what your take on the difference between the American sense of horror and the British sense of horror is.
I think British horror is shaped very much still by the Gothic genre. So there's, particularly in literature, but also in films, there's very much a sense of we'll let you make up your mind what something is a lot of the time. Whereas the American sense of horror seems to be, not that you'll decide everything for us, but you're very definitely going to a particular place and you don't care how much you gross us out on the way there. or so it seems to me. But I suppose one example I'd cite, and I think I've mentioned this before, is Sarah Waters' book, The Little Stranger. And it's sort of a ghost story, but it's also not. And what's really scary about the book is that at the very end, you realize who's really been haunting the house the whole time. And it's not actually the ghost that you think it is. It's someone who's been under your gaze the whole time. And the way it's done is incredibly creepy. That's what I mean about it being informed by the sort of Gothic genre, whereas I think there's possibly slightly less of that, and the Americans have sort of gone their own way with it. So that's my take.
What did you think of the movie with Nicole Kidman, The Others? Comes out of the British tradition where you're sort of misdirected for the entire film until the big reveal at the end? Which I won't tell everyone in case you haven't seen the film.
Yeah, that was I think. I would have called that more of a Gothic film than an out-and-out horror. Not that you need lots of sudden death.
Has anyone seen Crimson Peak?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen it yet, no. Has anyone seen it?
Yes.
Someone said
it.
Yes. You loved
yeah,
it. Can you? Was it on the... It had Tom Hiddleston in it, so I assume it was awesome.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
You saw the Thor movies. Come on. Nothing awesome about Thor. Okay. No.
Tom Hiddleston was cracking me up in the Avengers. He's quite the captivating actor. It looked like a very gothic feel to it. Who's the director of that? Was it Guillermo del Toro?
Yes, I think it was.
The guy who did Pan's.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you know, actually, it's funny that you mentioned Guillermo del Toro because we're talking about things that scared you, and there was a film when I watched when I was a little kid. It was called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. It was a made-for-TV movie, I think, here in the States. And as I watched this movie when I was, I can't remember, 7 or 8 years old, and it literally scared me to death. I mean, to this day, thinking about how scared I was when that movie came out was, you know, it was pretty earth-shaking. And it's and the tie-in here with Del Toro is that he actually remade the movie with Katie Holmes back, I think it was a 2000, I think it was 2012, 2013. No, wait, before then. Anyway, he remade it, and it was just as enticingly scary. Not as much so as it was when I was a seven-year-old child, obviously, but, you know, it was still like, you know, it still put a little bit of fear into me, and it was done really, really well. I mean, of course, it's Del Toro. I mean, he does really good work. I liked him the best, actually, and I haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth, but I did like him the best in, what was that, the one with the Golden Army? What was the name of it? Hellboy.
The Hellboy series, yes.
Yeah, Hellboy's the second excellent. Film that he did. Yeah, the second one was, I liked the first one was good, but the second one was a lot better. But, you know, that was Guillermo del Toro did that. And, you know, that was a tie-in with him was that he remade, like, the scariest movie that ever scared me when I was a kid, you know. You had mentioned, somebody mentioned The Living Dead or something like that. I think it was Justin who had mentioned The Night of the Living Dead. And I've never seen that film.
Oh, the thing about Night of the Living Dead is if you start watching it, and if you haven't watched it, what was so shocking about it was how it comes completely at you out of left field. The movie begins, it was shot in black and white. It was shot in Pennsylvania, by the way.
Pennsylvania.
And if you're watching the film, it starts off and you're going, oh, this is junk. There's this woman and there's this guy and their brother and sister and they're at a grave and they're kind of talking to each other and the dialogue is very stilted and lame. And in the background, there's this figure that's sort of wandering around and he gets closer and closer. And they're talking back and forth and then the character keeps getting closer to them, and it comes up into the range of the film. You can see the character, kind of a tallish white guy, kind of gaunt looking, and he attacks the brother. And at that point, the movie never takes off. It was relentlessly scary in this really inexpensive way. It was filmed for like $150,000 over a weekend.
I'll have to put it on the list. There's a lot of. There's a lot of great movies like out there that are, you know, that they're scary like that. You know, they build up nice and slow. That's good.
And they all had to come from books. They all had to come from good scripts, good horror, good thriller.
Oh, definitely. No doubt about it. I mean, to life in the writer's mind, and it's after it comes to life, the paper hits the pen. I mean, sorry, the pen hits the paper. And that's when the writing really, you know, no doubt about it. It all comes out of the writer's mind. And unfortunately, you know, people, that was a great movie. That actor did blah, 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 blah. That actor only did blah, blah, blah because the writer wrote it and the director, you know, had a vision of how it had to come out, you know. So,
yeah.
I don't think
you see what happens when there's a writer's strike.
I don't think anyone to this day knows the names of the actors, the original actors in the cast of the original Night of the Living Dead, but that movie kicked off. I mean, now you can't get away from zombie movies. It's an entire genre, you know, almost an entire industry. That movie kicked off the whole thing, the whole wave.
It made it. It made the zombie.
So which
movie.
One was that? Is there another zombie type film? I don't. You know what? I'm not even sure if it's a zombie type film. What's the name of it? It's actually. 30 years ago it came out, and now the lead character's back out, Ash or something like that.
Oh, Ash, Night of the what is that? Oh,
Army
God.
Of Darkness?
Army of Darkness?
Is that what it is? I can't remember.
It's Army of...
Yeah.
Justin, you know that one, right?
Sam Raimi did the Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and then Bruce
Evil
Campbell.
Evil Dead, that's what it is, yeah.
Evil Dead 2, and then Bruce Campbell, who's like the king of B-movie horror, in a sense. He's been in a lot of other things. They did the third film in that series was called Army of Darkness. But if you've ever watched Army of Darkness, it's horror, but it's also kind of funny, too.
It's a comedy film. I remember watching it now.
Yeah, it's horror.
Very slapstick.
Hey, guys, it's getting to be the end of our show. We've got about 3 minutes left. Time has flown by here. We've gotten into a lot of fun, interesting conversation. I wanted to kick it back to our authors who have joined us tonight from Zorame to give off a farewell. Jules, if you could say, give us a little adios, that would be great, and tell us what you're up to.
Right now I'm in my pajamas, and I'm going to head off to bed in a
It's nearly midnight in the UK. So, Jules, thank you so much for calling in and spending some time with us and actually hanging with us the whole time. I thought you were going to call in and nod off, but thank you so much for hanging in with us.
Thank you, Jules. You appreciate it.
Nice to meet everyone.
Nice to meet you. And, Justin, what are you up to, and what's your next step? What's any signings or anything like that coming up?
Yeah, we've got a couple of fun things going on. The book, hopefully, I think we're forecasting for a November release for A Devil in the Wide City. And then we're going to probably try to go to the Schaumburg HorrorCon again. It was a lot of fun last year, a lot of fun people there. But, I will go ahead and update accordingly with social media, so if anyone wants to stop by and say hello.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for calling us in. And we've also got some really great conversation that have come up with our other guests, from Rick, Domingo, Emma, everyone else. So, real quick, what's everybody doing for Halloween? Domingo, go.
Let's see. Halloween, I'll be taking care of my mom. She's not been feeling well in the Friday before. And then Saturday morning at Halloween, I'll be coming down here back to Pennsylvania from New York, where my mom is. And I'll be taking the kids around trick-or-treating, I'm sure. Probably, telling them, oh, you can't have that candy. I'll take it.
There you go. Emma, what are you going to be doing?
I'm dressing my twins up as the Minions, and we are going to walk about two houses and come back because they're going to be complaining and tired. So.
Rick, what are you doing?
For Halloween, there's this guy called the Bleeding Critic. He's a Brit, by the way. He wears this horrific clown mask, and he does reviews of the latest of horror movies. And there's two that he's recently reviewed that get attention, Pernicious and Inside. Inside's supposed to be this incredibly gory but scary French horror movie. So I'm deciding which one I'm going to see for Halloween.
All right. And Jules? And Justin, thank you guys so much for calling in. We've got about 12 seconds left, so I just wanted to wrap it up and give everybody a high five over the airwaves. Thanks, everyone, for calling in to Radio Z. Please check us out online and make sure to like us on the social media. You can check us out at facebook.com/TZPPRadioZ. And we'll catch up with you next week. Thank you all very much. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.